Welcome to the Happy, Healthy, Strong podcast. Our goal is to equip you with the knowledge and tools you need to make lasting changes in your health. Society has trained us to think that Western medicine is the answer to long-term health, but this approach only treats symptoms and never addresses the root cause. Without a new approach, our community will experience unnecessary sickness and suffering. We teach the functional health model to educate and empower listeners on their journey to a happier, healthier, and stronger life. My name is Paige, and I'm a certified holistic health coach. I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Alex Arguello, Doctor of Chiropractic and Functional Health Practitioner. Join us as we unpack some of the most pressing health challenges facing our community today. Welcome back to the Happy, Healthy, Strong podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about cholesterol medication. And so we already did an episode a couple back, I'll link to it, in our You've Been Lied To series about cholesterol, all about cholesterol. So that might be a good one to listen to in conjunction with this one if you haven't heard it yet. Today, we're going to be focusing on kind of the healthcare, allopathic view on that and what the issues would be with the medication typically prescribed. But also, we want to just remind everyone this is not medical advice these episodes especially. Please listen to your doctor, and we are not telling you what to do with your medication.
Yeah, I know I'm not a medical doctor. Last time I checked, you were not a medical doctor. So like we said in the last two episodes of just kind of going through the history of allopathic Western medicine, this isn't meant to be some sort of medical community bashing or anything like that. So one question would be why I even talk about it. Well, because here's a statistic. Statin drugs are some of the most commonly prescribed medications for sure in the United States. Don't quote me on this statistic. This is somewhat old, but there was a time, I believe, that of the top 10 medications sold in the United States, six of them were cholesterol-lowering medications.
Six of the top 10.
Six of the top 10. Yeah. So there is it's a huge, huge industry. Lipitor is one of the most common, and it was put up by Pfizer, which if you listen to the end of our last podcast, Pfizer isn't my favorite place, but maybe other people's not their favorite place either. They've had a lot of issues over the years, but they are the ones that came up with Lipitor, and they've found a cumulative sales totaling $130 billion since its release. 29 million people have filled their Lipitor prescription since 2002.
Yeah.
It's wild. There's a lot of people on cholesterol-lowering medication, so why would we talk about it? Because we care about people's health, and we want, especially our listeners, to be knowledgeable about this stuff, because it's very common to go in to your yearly, even if it's just a yearly physical or just any kind of checkup by the doctor. They're more than likely going to run some type of a blood panel, and the lipid panel is going to be one of them. And if you have high cholesterol, it's a good chance that's the recommendation that you're going to be put on these medications. So
totally. I feel like it's kind of the assumption for people, standard American type people, like by the time you get into your 50s or 60s, you're most likely on cholesterol medication.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, there's another statistic. Oh, here we go. 22% of Americans over the age of 45 are on statin medication. So And that's 5 years away from me. So
I don't think you're going to be
that. Yeah. I don't know that I'll be there. But anyway, let me just first start off. What are they? You know, what do they do? So they are meant to lower what most people were trained to kind of think is bad cholesterol. Now, we talked about that in our podcast on cholesterol in this You've Been Lied series. There's really no such thing as bad cholesterol. There's appropriate cholesterol, and all the cholesterol in our body is actually doing something specific. So we don't necessarily need to call it bad cholesterol, but the purpose of them calling it bad cholesterol is because higher levels of what's called LDL cholesterol has been shown that people that have higher levels of LDL cholesterol have a higher risk of cardiovascular events. So if these medications are meant to lower your LDL, and LDL is related to heart disease risk, then of course it's going to be preventing you from having cardiovascular disease, heart attacks, strokes, those type of things. So that's kind of the purpose of what's happening with the statin-lowering medication. Now, again, in the medical model, if they're purpose. Remember what allopathy was. It was a symptom and disease treatment, and specifically with two tools, medications and surgery. So if you have the symptom or sign of high cholesterol, we know that that's related to some level of cardiovascular risk. And of course, from the doctor's perspective, from the medical community's perspective, they're going to give you something to try to get rid of that symptom, right? To lower your risk of having a heart attack or some sort of cardiovascular disease. But as you should know, medications have a certain level of toxicity. We learn that when even at chiropractic school, we have to take a toxicology class. So we learn that all medications have a certain level of toxicity. And a lot of the research that's done to see if a medication is safe is going through and seeing how toxic is actually this medication. So we know there's some level of risk with taking any sort of medication, but not even if it's just the toxicity effects, there's just natural consequences when you take medications, because typically a medication is working against what the body naturally wants to do. So in the case of statin drugs, the purpose of them and how they lower this LDL is they go after a specific enzyme. So this enzyme, not that you have to know this, but it's made in the liver. It's called HMG-CoA reductase. So there'll be a quiz after this.
Taking notes.
Making sure that you remember that. But this HMG-CoA reductase, as the body is going through the process of making cholesterol, this is kind of a limiting step. If you don't get through this particular step of that process, then you will not make, then cholesterol production slows down at least, if not completely stops. So if my body has higher levels of cholesterol shown in the blood, one of the ways, of course, of lowering that is to tell the body to stop making cholesterol, right? So that's definitely a simplified explanation of what's happening, but that's the general theory behind this is you stop the production in the liver of making cholesterol, therefore you will not have high cholesterol levels.
Which, first of all, it just sounds like a bad idea to go against something that the body is trying to do. Like, yeah. There's a reason that it's producing this, and then you're just suppressing it.
Yeah, which goes back to just kind of the fundamental principle of the body is intelligent, right? The body knows what it's doing. You know, some of my mentors would always say the body does the right thing at the right time, all the time. That's not how medicine thinks. Medicine thinks, we think the body is intelligent and is always trying to get the body healthy. The medical community tends to think that the body is prone to breaking down. And if something's wrong, then something's wrong with the actual body. So therefore, we have to intervene from the outside to try to fix it. So it's the whole inside out versus outside in. Like, if something's wrong in the inside, medicine says, let's do something from the outside to fix that. Mm-hmm. More chiropractic or functional health philosophy would be, well, something's wrong on the inside. We need to figure out what's going on in the inside. So then the outside will get healthy if we fix what's going on
right on
the inside. Yeah, so you're exactly right. But again, they can do research that shows if you take these medications, then cholesterol does lower, specifically LDL does lower, which also blood clots, heart disease, heart attack, stroke, all those things have the chance to lower as well. So here's a study, 2017, so fairly recent in circulation, found that statin drugs decreased coronary heart disease related deaths by 28% in men. So that's a win for them, right? They're lowering the cardiovascular disease risk. But here's something that's interesting, and I asked you before the podcast if you've ever heard of this, and you said you didn't, so I'm assuming our listeners have never heard of this either. But when it comes to research, so we mentioned the 28%, so heart disease-related deaths by 28%, that's a significant amount, right? So if that happens in the study, then whoever put that out, let's say that is Pfizer again, they're going to promote, hey, this medication lowers cardiovascular disease risk by 28%. But in research, there's something called absolute risk versus relative risk. So what I mean by that, this is kind of an example. Let's say drug A reduces your risk of developing cardiovascular disease by 0.5%. Okay, so that's drug A, lowers your risk by 0.5%, which obviously isn't a ton in and of itself, but that's what it lowers it. The absolute risk is 0.5%. On the other hand, if you bring drug B into it and it decreases your risk by bringing it down to 0.25%, that's your absolute risk, 0.25%, right? But what's the difference between 0.5 and 0.25 is 50%. So the relative risk would be 50%. The 0.25 risk would be just the 0.25%. Does that make sense? Or am I confusing people?
I think I'm tracking.
So basically, from 0.25 to point, or from 0.5 to 0.25 is that 50% change.
Yes.
So that's the relative risk of one showed, hey, you lower by 0.25. So you have a 0.5 risk of having a cardiovascular event. This other drug said, no, you were better because you have a 0.25 risk of cardiovascular event. But they could also say, so we're 50% better than this other medication. Mm-hmm. So what sounds better, just the 0.25 or the 50%? The 50% is going to sound much
right.
better, right?
Yeah,
so they're
yeah.
going to promote that our drug's lowered by, you know, we benefit you 50% more than the other medications.
Even when it's such a small amount.
It's completely, completely small. So this is another 2017 meta-analysis published in Lancet. It looked at 26 randomized trials on cholesterol-lowering medication in heart disease. They found that statin drugs decreased mortality by 10% for every 39 milligrams per deciliter. So that's how they measure cholesterol. If you come down 39 points, just call it points, you lower your mortality risk by 10%. Again, huge. That's, I mean, 10% it would be big. And you have to lower it around 40 milligrams per deciliter. However, if you looked at the trials closer, the mortality rates went from 2.3% to 2.1% for every 39 milligrams per deciliter, resulting in 0.2% of an absolute risk reduction.
So that's not a ton.
That's not even. So if you say mortality risk, somebody has a 2.3% chance of dying with this high cholesterol, and then they take a medication and now they have a 2.1% chance of dying of cholesterol, that's not a big deal.
Right.
Not a big deal at all. Now, if the cholesterol medications were completely safe, had no side effects, none of that stuff, then hey, maybe do it because at least it's 0.2%, right? That's still, every life is important. But in research and these, you know, these big numbers, it's actually not that big of a deal. The other side of that is if 2.3% mortality rate change for every 39 milligrams, that's still a lot of people that don't die with high cholesterol, right? You have 98% of people who aren't dying with the high cholesterol stuff.
Right.
So as you just dive deeper into these statistics, you know, you're going to see that it's not actually...
It gets fishier and fishier, basically.
Yeah, and it's not... There's you go to your doctor, they say high cholesterol. Of course, just the natural thing is, hey, let's put you on some statins to lower that cholesterol. Why? Because it's completely safe and it's effective. But if you actually look at it, it's not as effective as everybody's talking about. And most of this research was done on people who have significantly high levels of cholesterol, have already had a cardiovascular event, not people who don't necessarily have significant cholesterol issues. Maybe their cholesterol is a little high when they go to the doctor and they've never had a cardiovascular event, right? So who knows how much worse these statistics would be if you actually did them on fairly healthy people.
Mm.
Yeah. So again, back to, so that's kind of the effectiveness of it, right? There's some questionable statistics out there with the absolute risk and relative risk of how effective these statin lowering medications or these cholesterol lowering medications are. But again, if it was completely safe, then maybe that's not that big of a deal. So let me just list off the major side effects that are shown from statin medications. There's headaches, there's muscle aches, weakness, tenderness, there's difficulty sleeping or sleep issues, there's drowsiness, there's dizziness, there's skin flushing, there's rashes, there's acne or other skin issues, there's stomach pains or cramps, there's nausea, there's vomiting, there's gas, there's bloating, there's constipation, there's diarrhea, there's low platelet levels and high blood sugar. So those are some of the probably not life-threatening issues, but those are the major common issues. Less common is statin drugs they've also been shown to increase your risk of diabetes. So in 2019, a study published in Diabetes Metabolism found that statin drugs can double your risk of diabetes.
Oh dear.
Your risk are at the highest if you've been taking them for 2 years or longer.
Mm.
Another one, 2019 study published in British Journal of Clinical Pharmacology found that statin drugs can also increase your risk of staph skin infection by 40%. So a lot of times with people, especially with diabetes, they don't heal very well because their blood is so full of sugar, it doesn't get to areas and able to heal it. This was done on them, but they found that even people without diabetes also had the same increase of staph skin infections by 40%. So it's not wasn't that it was just diabetes couldn't heal, and so therefore they get these infections. It was definitely due to the statin-lowering medications.
Yeah.
Some less common side effects, hair loss, tingling, numbness, prickling, pins and needles, liver inflammation, pancreatic inflammation, erectile dysfunction, low sex drive, memory loss or confusion, neuropathy, and then the most serious, myocystitis, muscle or muscle inflammation, elevated CPK causing inflammation, rhabdomyolysis causing serious muscle fatigue or muscle damage. So lots of just individual side effects, but here I'll just try to read these fast. Here's some other studies. Combination of simvastatin and another cholesterol-lowering medication do not reduce aortic valve stenosis. Same one, both of those medications. So the other one is called enzatimibe. That's why I didn't try to say it because I have no idea what it's how to say it. So didn't reduce aortic valve stenosis, but also is associated with increased cancer incidence and death.
Oh, my.
In a pooled analysis of data from 5 statin trials, intensive dose statin therapy was associated with increased risk of new onset diabetes compared to moderate dose statin therapy. Insomnia is a possible statin-associated psychiatric adverse effect. Lipid-lowering drugs contribute to erectile dysfunction. Muscle complaints occur in 10% or more of patients started on high-dose statins. Pancreatitis, while rare, is a possible side effect of statin medications. Pravastatin, a type of statin medication therapy, is associated with an increased risk of cancer as age increases. Several drugs modify the risk of biochemical conversation to type 2 diabetes mellitus. Simvastatin contributes to insulin resistance in non-diabetic patients. So even if you're not diabetic, take a cholesterol medication and you increase your chance of insulin resistance, which we've talked plenty about on the podcast. Statin drugs increase risk of diabetes. Statin drugs associated with an increased incidence of interstitial lung disease. And I could keep going, but we'll not.
Yeah.
So specific symptoms that we know are related to statin medications, and then all these other studies showing, you know, some pretty big deals in terms of diabetes and insulin resistance and lung disease and all that stuff. So yeah, it's I'm sure that most of us haven't heard all of that stuff.
Right, because when they prescribe it to you at the doctor's office, they're probably not. They'll give you like a maybe a.
Again, I mean, I don't want to put everybody in the same category. I'm sure there's some very good doctors out there that are like, "Hey, it looks like your cholesterol levels are high. We should probably think about a statin, but let me share with you what the risks are of taking the statin so that you can make a decision."
Right.
You know, I was just talking to somebody who had pretty significant levels of total cholesterol and LDL cholesterol, and this is the second lab that they've shown pretty high levels, and they're still not on medication. So their doctor hasn't talked to them really about medications, and it's kind of given them an opportunity to make some changes on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. One last thing here, risk factor for statin side effects. These are the people that are at the highest risk. If you're taking more than one medication for bad cholesterol, if you're female, you're at higher risk for statin side effects.
Mm.
If you're 65 or older, which how many, that's the majority of the people who are on statins,
right.
65 and older. If you have a small body frame, of course, if you drink too much alcohol, if you have liver or kidney disease, and then if you have a vitamin D deficiency, which is interesting. There's a, so the whole musculoskeletal pain thing, that's a common symptom for people with cholesterol-lowering medications, and hopefully if we have time, I'll explain a little bit why that's the case, but 2019 study published in Disease Markers found that low vitamin D levels increase the risk of statin-induced musculoskeletal pain. Mm-hmm. Study done on 1,200 patients, around 300 of them had statin-induced or statin-associated muscle symptoms, and 900 didn't, and that was the control. They found that over 2/3 of the patients that had the pain had a vitamin D deficiency. So it wasn't necessarily just the statin effects that the people were experiencing. It was because they also had the vitamin D deficiency combined with the taking the statin, and that put them at a higher risk of having these symptoms. So it is a big deal. And probably the last significant one that I will talk about, and this is more... I mean, there's definitely research to show it, but it's also just more of a, if you understand how the body works, it makes a ton of sense. But back to that HMG coreductase, that stops the production of cholesterol in the liver. The other thing that it stops is something called CoQ10. If you've ever heard of that, coenzyme Q10, it's just a, you could think of it as an antioxidant of the body. So we have all of our cells. Inside of our cells, we have what are called organelles, and one of the most important organelles is your mitochondria. Mitochondria, we learned it as the powerhouse. It's what produces energy. So the kind of the currency for the energy in the human body is called ATP. If you don't have if you can't produce ATP, you won't have energy to do anything. Well, you need healthy mitochondria. You need a lot of mitochondria to be able to produce ATP, not just energy to be able to, you know, function daily, but everything in the body, you know, requires energy. So you need these ATP. Well, one of the things that mitochondria also do is they help to keep the nucleus healthy, and the nucleus is another organelle that houses your DNA. So if you think about cancer, and this isn't, this is just still a theory, it's not a proven theory, but it's called the somatic theory of cancer, meaning if you have enough damaged DNA, that's how you get cancer. Now they're starting to learn that's not exactly the whole story, but it definitely plays a part of it. So basically what I'm saying is if you don't want cancer, you have to keep your DNA protected. Well, mitochondria is really what helps to protect that DNA. And you need healthy mitochondria to be able to protect your DNA well. Well, coenzyme Q10 is a huge part of that. It's what helps you keep your mitochondria healthy as well as your nucleus healthy. Really just the whole, it's called the cytoplasm. Sorry to get too scientific on you here, but all the organelles are just kind of swimming in what's called the cytoplasm, and the mitochondria are throughout there just trying to keep things, try to keep things healthy. So if you're taking cholesterol lowering medication, you're also inhibiting the production of coenzyme Q10, which then negatively affects your mitochondria. So it's called mitochondrial dysfunction. So that's going to cause the muscle weakness and the muscle pain because your muscles require that ATP, requires high levels of mitochondrial function to be able to work well. So you're going to experience the fatigue and the pain, but you're also not going to be able to keep the nucleus healthy, and which therefore you're not going to be able to keep your DNA healthy, because all we're constantly exposed to toxins from outside of our body, and then just byproducts of chemical reactions that happen on the inside of our body. So you want healthy mitochondria, you want a lot of coenzyme Q10, and people that are taking cholesterol lowering medication, they're just working against the body producing coenzyme Q10.
Right.
So there's some evidence that showing long-term statin medication obviously puts you at higher risk of cancer. But again, like we said many times, research typically takes a long time to catch up to principles, right? So if the principle is, hey, coenzyme Q10 is important to keep our DNA healthy, maybe we should stop. We should stop inhibiting its production.
Right.
Right. Or at the very least, if you feel like that's necessary to prevent cardiovascular risks, then recommending that they supplement with coenzyme Q10 if they're on a statin lowering medication so that they're not completely deficient in it. Now, that's going to make up for the intelligence of the body knowing how much coenzyme Q10 needs to produce.
Yeah.
But it at least can kind of, you know, support the lack of production of the coenzyme Q10. So yeah, and then now we've gotten to kind of what most people are scared of is the whole cancer thing,
right?
Also related to this sort of thing. How much time we have?
We can keep going.
Okay.
A couple more minutes.
Well, hopefully that was enough. Hopefully, maybe that'll just produce some questions, and we can do a follow-up show. But yes, not as effective as we would want to think, not as safe as we would want to think. But also, if we just get back to what we talked about in our previous podcast on cholesterol. Is it even necessary to lower LDL cholesterol, right? LDL cholesterol just gets a significantly bad rap. It's just solely related to if you have high LDL, you're going to have a heart attack, you're going to have a stroke, those type of things. And just to remind people, there is research shows there's just as many people who have died of heart attacks, who have had heart attacks with low cholesterol than with high cholesterol.
Yeah. That is just so not the narrative that you hear.
Right. And it gets back to the whole, not just total level of LDL cholesterol, but what's called the particle number and the particle size. And I think I went into detail on that show.
Yep.
But just to briefly explain it again, we have these different types of what are called lipoproteins. And that's what an LDL is a low density lipoprotein. Those can be very small and dense, or they can be big and fluffy. We want the big fluffy ones because they bounce off of the arterial walls and they don't get stuck in the walls where they can be oxidized and cause plaque, and then that's what leads to atherosclerosis and cardiovascular events. Mm-hmm. So the small dense ones don't bounce off the arterial wall, they get stuck in the arterial wall, more commonly stuck in the arterial wall, which then can get oxidized and build plaque up, and then that's how your arteries get closed off. The other lie is, well, if I have high LDL levels of cholesterol, then stuff that I eat, like animal fat and eggs and butter and all that stuff, raises my LDL cholesterol, so therefore I'm putting myself at risk. When that's not actually the case, it's still back to your diet, but it's how much insulin or how insulin sensitive or insulin resistant you actually are, and that's going to determine kind of what size particles and how many particles you actually have in terms of LDL cholesterol. So if you get a high level of cholesterol, it's not a death sentence, right? You're not at now extremely high risk of heart disease until you know more about your LDL particle number and particle size. So always asking if you can get that test done. If not, that's the test that I run, and be happy to order those things for people. And then we should always try to get back to, hey, what's the underlying cause of this? What type of diet am I having? Am I exercising? How's sleep going? Stress management, all those things. And at the very end, if nothing is that you're doing is actually changing anything, now we get to where medicine is brilliant, right? And can save people's lives, crisis situations, can relieve suffering. And that's where medications and surgeries and stuff would come in at. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, we would want to be a lot more knowledgeable about this thing. And unfortunately, that's not where most people are at that I talk to. They've kind of already been through the whole medical America round of, I have high cholesterol, I have high blood pressure, I have high blood sugar, all those things. And they're just taking something to try to minimize those symptoms or signs and not really doing much to get to the cause. So,
yeah.
Which is hopefully why they're coming to me to get to the cause. So
exactly. If they're listening to this episode, they're on the right track.
Yes. I think that's all I got, unless you got some questions.
I think that was a lot of numbers. That was a lot of information. A lot of
the
fine print,
yeah.
I feel like. But I also feel like that was enlightening for just hopefully people who, you know, have maybe are on this or have a family member on this to just take a second look and a second, you know, just question a little bit.
Yep.
And get knowledgeable.
Yep.
So I feel like this is a good time to plug that we do like consultations with people.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone wants to meet with you, definitely shoot us an email. Our contact info is in the description of this episode. We can do virtual if you're not local to us here in the Quad Cities, but we would love to take a in-depth look at your personal situation if that's something you're interested in, and help you to kind of go after the root cause rather than just treating the symptoms. So hopefully this was helpful. Be sure to share this, especially if you have family members or someone who might be on this kind of medication and maybe is just unaware of all of the stuff that we talked about today. We would love if you would share this with them. We'll talk to you next time.